I speak to you in the name of the living God, blessed Trinity, and lover of your souls. Amen. Have you ever looked at a ginger root? I mean, really looked at a ginger root. A ginger root isn't like any other root I've ever seen. It's bulbous and branching, like a small human body with sprawling arms and legs stretching out in all directions. Well, I looked it up, and turns out a ginger root isn't a root after all. It's a rhizome. And rhizomes are supposed to look like that, sprawling. In fact, it's one of their foremost features. Now, the main difference between a root and a rhizome is that a root typically grows vertically, but a rhizome grows horizontally. Both are the parts of a plant that absorb nutrients, but while roots anchor a plant to the ground, rhizomes reach out in all directions, seeking to connect. In both of today's Old Testament readings, in the Psalm and in the prophets, we're given the same image of a tree planted by a stream of water. In Jeremiah, the older of the two passages, the root system of that tree is explicitly described as one that stretches out sideways, like a rhizome. Eucalyptus trees, willows, poplars, and bamboo are all examples of trees that do this. The rhizomes of these trees will wrap themselves around anything in their path, around wood, rocks, metal, other plants. Landscapers know that you have to create a rhizome barrier if one of these trees is around, because their rhizomes will latch onto anything. Rhizomes are a system of underground branches. They prefer side-by-side relationships with other things. Plants with rhizomes don't have a tyrannical taproot to secure that plant to the ground. They don't believe there's just one way to find security, one way to grow, one way to be. Rhizomes are democratic. They know that real security and power come from reaching out to others in relationship and doing things together. Because plants with rhizomes act this way, they recover more easily from damage. For instance, if a landscaper finds an unwanted rhizome creeping where it doesn't belong, she'll rip it out. Now, if she did this to a tree with a taproot, pulled it up and threw it away, well, the death of that plant would be inevitable. But a rhizome may be broken, may be shattered at any given spot, and it'll start up again on one of those old lines, or it'll generate a brand new line. Now, rhizomes aren't just remarkable plant adaptations. They're also a powerful metaphor for human connection. When human beings, like rhizomes, don't root down as isolated individuals and claim their solitary position of security and power, but instead build a network of horizontal connections, create a web of democratic nourishment, they promote life and healing wherever they connect. One such example of horizontal attachment is the human practice of marriage. And it turns out that today we have the joy of blessing a marriage of Tom Rowntree and Thomas Shorley. Now, how many of you who are married ended up marrying the first person you ever dated? I see one hand. Very impressive. Very, very impressive. That's a first all day. Two hands. All right. Well, needless to say, this is rare. Because human beings find connections more like rhizomes in non-linear ways, right? Now, Tom told me that he had to date a Matthew, a Mark, a Luke, and a John, which got him through all the Gospels in the New Testament, before he finally met the right guy in Thomas. Most of our dating journeys are like that. We find a rock or a piece of metal to wrap ourselves around for a time until we locate the right plant to build true connection with. And the beauty of one plant finding another plant to connect with is that they link their rhizomic systems of underground branches and extend exponentially as both plants generate new lines together, share nutrients, and learn how to grow alongside each other. As I explored all the ways that rhizomes provide metaphors for human life this week, I came across an article from a team of evolutionary psychologists. That's a real thing. Isn't that cool? Evolutionary psychologists who are researching why human beings heal one another. Why do we heal one another? They write that people who are willing to risk reaching out and being vulnerable with another, those willing to seek out connections instead of remaining isolated, ultimately benefit our species as a whole. This is especially true for those who seek connection after they've been wounded. They use the image of the rhizome as an example of a unit that becomes stronger in every place where it's been broken and then healed. And any of us who have been in healing relationships with another human being know that that's not just a scientific statement, that's gospel truth. When you reach out like a rhizome and another person reaches back and attaches a healthy part of themselves to the part of you that's shattered, that person brings healing to that wounded place and revitalizes and strengthens that part of you. As human beings, the bonds of our most important relationships often form because of our capacity to heal each other's wounds. Social cooperation is the term the evolutionary psychologists use. Social cooperation describes the biological drive to heal each other through attachment. By physically touching each other, like rhizomes, and by being empathetic and compassionate, nutritious while we do so, we promote the flourishing of all human life. This idea of our species being stronger together reminds me of a proverb we often read at weddings from the book of Ecclesiastes. If two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? And though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Now, I have seen this rhizomic image manifest in Tom and Thomas's relationship during our conversations in preparation for their blessing today. Tom and Thomas met online, as many of us do these days, and this was more than a decade ago. And when they first met in person, Tom said that he shared things with Thomas he'd never told anyone. He even found himself crying on Thomas's shoulder, and rather than recoil at such vulnerability, Thomas leaned in. He comforted him. Tom said he hadn't felt such comfort since his mother, Brenda. And Thomas, who met Tom just as his retirement began, had been used to living a fairly solitary life, but he found that with Tom, it was easy to make room for connection. Thomas said he felt his heart opening with Tom in ways he'd never felt before, except maybe with his grandmother, Betty. And I know that you've experienced something like this in your life before, too. Like the rhizomes of a plant, you've reached out and sought people to intertwine your underground branches, too. And I bet there are times that you found that you not only brought healing to wounded places in another, but that that other made you stronger in places you once experienced as weakness. This idea of another giving us strength and healing wounded places is why we find this image of rhizomes in Scripture. The Bible tells us that this image of a tree's rhizomes reaching out toward a stream isn't just about connecting with other people. It's a simile for what it's like for human beings to trust in God. One last fact about a rhizome I'll share is that Unlike a tree with a vertical taproot, a tree that sends out rhizomes horizontally has a better chance of surviving a drought. Unlike roots, which can only absorb water and nutrients, rhizomes can store it. They store the water and nutrients within themselves. That's why they have a surplus of nutrients to share with other rhizomes that they connect to. But it also means that when hard times come, rhizomes have within them the capacity to thrive while other plants will perish. Our scriptures want us to reach out to God like rhizomes so that together we can make it through the difficult times in our lives. Today's readings invite us to reach out to God and to others to create that underground network of nutritious nodes and bulbs to share with each other, to heal one another, to regenerate wounded places, and invite the entire network to thrive in the most difficult of times. Everything above ground may look grim, may look like what Jeremiah describes as that shrub struggling in a waterless desert. But it's not so for the underground rhizomes existing in the very same climate, because the rhizomes always have access to each other's nutrients and are simultaneously reaching out to the closest water source, the stream of God's abundant life. Theologian Pamela Cooper White tells us that God invites us to be like rhizomes because God is a rhizome too. She says that the first democracy wasn't imagined by human beings, but rather echoes to us from within the nature of the Godhead. She calls God the many one, who holds within the self a multiplicity that provides generative creativity, vulnerable humility, democratic delegations, and mutual delight. That is our beginning and our end. We come from and return to a multiplicity of relationship, of generative creativity, of vulnerable humility, of democratic delegation, and mutual delight. At the moment, I can think of no better image of heaven. Except maybe today, in an image of heaven I got from Tom and Thomas. As the three of us met and prepared for their blessing, they shared with me what they now call their cosmic scenario. Earlier, I mentioned that the care that they received from each other echoed to them from the care that they once received from mother and grandmother. Their story is what triggered this whole rhizome image for me, because it's like the matriarchs in their lives stored nutrients of care that they passed on to their boys, who then stored that same nourishment until they found just the right person in each other and began to share it with one another. Generative relationships that bring healing and life in a giant web of connection. Thomas says that because of that, now whenever he imagines heaven, he doesn't think he'll meet St. Peter at the pearly gates anymore, but rather Grandma Betty on the front porch of 11th Street. He'll find himself walking down that brick path and see Betty standing on the front porch waving him home. Both Tom and Thomas are now convinced that Brenda, Tom's mom, will be there too. They are certain these two women met up in heaven at some point and commiserated to bring Thomas and Tom together. Their homecoming will be a heavenly family reunion built on returning home through their own rhizomic network of care. May we all find ourselves on such a path one day, returning home through our own rhizomic network of care from our communities throughout time. And may we remember that the healing and strengthening we receive from one another not only supports us through the difficult seasons of this life, but will remain a source of eternal life for us all. So with the cosmic blessing of Brenda and Betty in our back pocket, and gathered now in physical and online presence of your church community, Thomas and Tom, let's seek God's blessing on your marriage.